really through those years is when we really formed our friendship. And the 15 years I've been Springdale, I mean, it's been, the Lord's blessed me. We've had a good church all the way through, and we just remain friends ever since. So I appreciate getting to be here. Let's read here a few verses in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5. And let me see. Verse number 10. 2 Kings chapter number 5 and verse 10. Real familiar verses here. Talking about Elisha's word to Naaman. Bible said, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now I know we've heard this story before, you've heard it preached about, but maybe for the next 15 minutes or so we can talk about it again. I want to use for a text here tonight, the Lord will help me. I want to preach on taking the right prescription. Taking the right prescription. You know, there's a little child in our church a while back, and they were sick. And, of course, the mother got some medicine, some cough syrup or something of that nature, and went over to the little child and was trying to take the medicine. But the child said, started to cry and say no. Well, so the mother tried to hold the baby's mouth open. And the child began to kick and say no. And she kind of blew her breath in his face. A lot of times that'll work. They'll kind of like that and catch their breath. And sometimes that'll work. But they put the medicine in and just spit it back out. And the child was 2 or 3, maybe 4, old enough to talk. And the mom was just overwhelmed, didn't know what else to try or what else to do, and said, look, you're going to have to take this prescription if you ever want to get better. And the child said, it tastes bad. I don't want to take it because it tastes bad. Well, a lot of times the preacher will give us the right prescription, and we'll just spit it out. I mean, they'll come with us and they'll say, open up and take it. It's good. Amen. This will help you. And oh, if we would just be able to take the medicine, how much it would help us. But a lot of times, I'm afraid, we hold our mouth tight, our lips closed together tight. We kick against it. We yell against it. We say, no, no, no. I don't want it. It doesn't taste good. And a lot of times, maybe at the time when the preacher tells us what God gives him for us, it may not sound good. It may not taste good. But if you'll just take the medicine, it'll help you. Amen. I'm reminded here, look at these scriptures we read to you about this man by the name of Naaman. Bible said he was a captain of the king of Syria, great with his master. And honorable because of by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was mighty in valor, but he was a leper. Now this man was a valiant soldier. He was strong and able to fight, but he had a physical handicap. He had leprosy. Bible said they had gone out many times and fought battles, and he had caused their deliverance. And one time when they went out, they had brought back a captive of the land of Israel, a little maid that waited on Naaman. One day she told her mistress, she said, "I would to God that Naaman knew that prophet that was in Samaria. If Naaman knew him, why, that man has the power to recover him of his leprosy." Well, when they heard about it, they began to inquire more about it and found out they was talking about none other than Elisha, that mighty man of God. Amen. And the Bible said when Naaman realized who they was talking about, he got his horses together, his chariots together, and some men together, and he said, "We'll just go down and pay him a visit. We're going to go." And when they got down to where he was, he brought gifts. He was willing to pay for it. But how many knows here tonight, you can't buy salvation or healing or a blessing or any good thing from God. You can't purchase it with money. Amen. And the Bible said that that he came down, and Elisha heard that the king of Israel, about him sending him here to him. And the Bible said that he came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Yeah. That Elisha didn't even go out to meet him. He just sent a messenger. Right. And said, "Go out there and tell Naaman, if you'll do this, he'll be well. Go tell him to go wash himself in Jordan River 7 times and he'll be clean." Well, that didn't sound like a whole lot to do. God just said, "Go wash yourself 7 times in Jordan River." But he didn't want to take the medicine. He didn't like that. He said, "Well, why in the world would I go to Jordan when there's rivers in Damascus that's so much cleaner? They're so much better. Why would I want to do this?" He was so angry. He wanted it done his way. He wanted it done the way he thought it ought to be. Brother, don't you know there's a lot of times we come to church and we've got it all figured out just exactly how we're going to get the answer. And maybe God will speak to his servant and they'll stand up and preach to us and tell us what thus saith the word of God. And we'll rebel against that. We'll push that aside and we'll say, "Why that way? Why should I go that direction? Why not an easier direction?" When you preach a holiness standard to folks today, they feel like, "Why should I go that route? That's hard. Why, I thought surely we could go this other way. This other way is a lot better. This other way is a lot easier." But it's the wrong prescription. My sister, let me tell you this before I finish this story. My sister, I think it's Monday night, she's a real bad diabetic. And Monday night she got really sick. My wife had to take her to the hospital in the middle of the night. And, real sick. And, got back home probably, or actually Sunday night. Got in about 5 o'clock Monday morning. And, she had to go back again to the hospital today, 2 days later on Wednesday. And, she was no better. Matter of fact, she felt worse. And they, right before we came to this service, I called to see what the doctor said. And you know what he said he'd done? He said he gave her the wrong prescription. He gave her medicine, and he didn't do anything to hurt her, but it wasn't doing anything to help her. She went back and said, "I'm not any better." When he got to looking at the, he said, "Well, you ought to be better. Have you been taking the medicine?" She said, "Yes." "Bring it with you." And so they checked the medicine. You know what he said? He said, "Well, this medicine is the wrong prescription. It ain't going to help you." So for her to take that didn't do her one bit of good. But he told her today, he said, "You get this filled and you take this. I'll guarantee you, in no time at all, you'll be better." Oh, church, how I wish tonight that we could apply this to us. And instead of fighting and bucking and kicking against the Word of God and against the man of God, we just open wide. I remember when Melissa, that's Doug's wife now, Doug Cornett's wife, when she's a little girl, sometime to get her to take vitamins, we'd have to play tricks on her. We'd say, "Open up, open wide, here it comes. Here's an airplane." And we'd zoom around like it's an airplane. And she'd take it. You had to trick her. Sometimes if I knew how, I'd try that with some church folks if I thought it worked. Amen. If you just get them to open up and take it and swallow it, they'd be better. The Bible said, taste the Word of God. Taste and see that it's good. It may be a little bitter in your mouth like that roll was, but if you'll swallow it, it'll get sweet. Amen. The Word of God is sweet to my taste. I love His Word. How about you? Amen. Oh yeah. Naaman said, this ain't the way I want to do it. He got mad. So mad and so wroth that the Bible said he turned and left in a rage. Now I don't know, you probably never had anything like this happen at the Highway Holiness Church. But I've been pastoring 15 years at Springdale Road in Cincinnati. And there's been a lot of times that I've preached and they've left in a rage. The only difference between them and Naaman is I didn't ask them to jump in the lake or tell them to go jump in a lake like he did. And they never had no chariot, but I've sure seen them peel rubber going out in their car tires before. Mad because left in a rage. Matter of fact, one lady told me about 2 years ago, I know I was in trouble, and there wasn't no side exits really unless you walked out through the muddy grass, or I wouldn't even went back that way. She got mad at something I preached, and I could see her standing at the back door waiting for me. I know I was in trouble. I know it was. She was mad. She had her Bible opened up just the right place and was kind of tapping it with her fingers. I know I was in trouble. When I went back, she's kind of like Naaman. She was in a rage. And she met me there and said, I don't care if it does say it in the Bible, I ain't never going to swallow it. That's really kind of what prompted me to preach this message tonight. Amen. She said, I remembered her saying that. She said, I said, well, let's look at the Bible. Looks like you got it marked right there. I said, ain't that exactly what it says, what I preach? She said, I said, isn't that exactly what I said? Did I add or take away? No, but I said, well then, what's the problem? She said, I know you believe it. I know the rest of the church believes it, but I'll never swallow it. And she left in a rage. She's been sick ever since. Not, she ain't been physically sick, but mentally sick. Amen. Mad, angry ever since. If she'd just be able to swallow it and take the medicine, I think it would help her. I wish you'd say amen. Amen. I'm not up here to fuss with you. But look, if the Word of God says it, you ought to be able to take it. Amen. I've had them tell me before, they can't take it, brother. Listen here, folks. You can take it if it's the Word of God. You know what? To me, the Word of God is not grievous. Amen. It's good. I love the Word of God. It's not hard for me. He left in a rage. Now, if he'd have stayed gone in that rage, guess what would have happened? He'd have died a leper. He could have left that way and not obeyed what the Word of God said and never got his healing. But you know what? When he saw that little young lady, she said, Master, said, all he asked you to do was go dip yourself in the river 7 times. Said, if he'd asked you something real hard, wouldn't you have done it? Why, no doubt they would have. You know, I can't understand folks. Folks try harder to prove they don't have to live right than if they just got with a program and lived right. Amen. I see folks try so hard. Let me throw this. I'm going to get off my text about 2 minutes here and meddle about 2 minutes. You know, some folks try so hard not to do what they know is right than if they went ahead and done it. Like tithing, for instance. You that know me knows I can't hardly preach a message without saying this. Anyhow, last night my treasurer comes up to me, hands me a note and said, Brother Miller, I think you'll enjoy this. You'll probably preach on it sometime. He didn't know how quick. There was a little note from a little 8 or 9 year old girl said, Dear Pastor, I just got a job babysitting one day a week. I make $7 a day when I babysit. Says, so here is $3.50 in a tithing envelope. Said, I plan on putting it in every week. Pray that I get to work 2 nights a week. Amen. Anyhow, I went to that young girl last night and I put my arm around her. She's about eight or nine, ten, maybe. I don't know exactly. I said, Amber, I said, honey, do you know how much tithes is? She said, not exactly. She said, didn't I give enough? I said, yes. I said, all you owe is 10%. You put in 50%. I said, all you owed was 70 cents. But if you want to give whatever, that's fine. But all you owed was 70 cents. And she looked at me and a tear trickled down her face. And she said, all I want to do is what the Bible says. Just a little child. And I thought, oh my, I wish that everybody felt like that. Oh yeah, instead of sitting and complaining and quarreling, saying, I ain't never going to give it, I ain't never going to pay them, I ain't never going to live right or go to church. If we just get with what the Word of God said and take the medicine and swallow it, we'd be better off and our church would be better off. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight in this little sermon here. Amen. Finally, he decided, I'll just go back and do what it said. What could it hurt? And he go dipped himself in the river on Muddy Jordan 7 times. And brother, when he come out of the water, did you know what? No more leprosy. He was willing to take his medicine. He had the right prescription, brother. Amen. He had the right prescription. Praise God. I remember several years ago, I believe in healing, by the way. I preach healing pretty strong. Several years ago, I went about 6 months. I couldn't hardly speak. I thought the devil told me I had throat cancer. I mean, I couldn't hardly preach. I couldn't hardly teach. I went to two or three throat specialists. They gave me different kind of medicines. I was crying. I was praying. I knew I had cancer. I just knowed something was bad wrong. Finally, somebody told me, said, here, gave me a phone number of a guy. Said, this guy's been an ear, nose, and throat specialist for years. Said, if he can't help you, then you're in trouble. So I went to him. I went in, he checked me out, and he said, what kind of heat is in your house? I said, electric heat. He said, you got a humidifier? I said, no. He said, what kind of medicines you been taking? I had a list of them there, 5 or 6 of them. I told him, I said, I take cough drops, I drink tea with honey and lemon, I do everything, suck on lemons, I drink water all day long. He said, son, he said, there ain't nothing wrong with you. He said, here, he gets an old back of a piece of paper, writes it down, said, go get your room humidifier and that electric heat, turn it on, said, you'll be fine 2 or 3 days. I got to aggravate that guy, went home, I told my wife, I said, that guy's crazy. He don't know nothing. I'm so sick, I can't even hardly talk. That guy told me I need a room humidifier and I've been on every kind of antibiotic they make. That guy's crazy. Diane said, why don't you try it? I said, I'm not trying it. I ain't buying no humidifier. I don't need that. That's the silliest thing I ever heard. I got to where I just couldn't hardly cheat. And finally I said, Diane, go get one and we'll give her a try. You get right down, you'll try anything, brother, I tell you. She went and got me a little room humidifier. I turned that thing on when I went to bed. I woke up the next morning and I could talk plain. And now, as long as I turn it on, 2 or 3 days a week in the wintertime, with that electric heat, I ain't never had another problem. I've just taken the wrong prescriptions all along. When I got willing to listen and do what the man told me, I ain't had no problems ever since. Amen. I know you might not like what Brother Collins says every time, but just swallow it and take it and see if it don't help you. I guarantee it. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Let me hurry up here. Finally, he come out of there. Leprosy was gone. He was clean, brother. Hallelujah. What does it matter if it's a room humidifier or if it's a big expensive antibiotic if it does the job? As long as it does the job. How do you think that blind man must have felt when he thought, if I could just get to Jesus, I feel like I'd be able to see? He comes to Jesus. I don't know what he thought Jesus was going to do, but I guarantee you he never thought about him spitting on the ground and putting mud in his eye. Now you think about that. Jesus, the Bible said, spat on the ground, reached down and made clay out of the spittle, rubbed mud in his eye, and said, go wash yourself. Yeah. Now I guarantee you folks, now I know you're sitting here tonight and you'd say, I'd have done exactly what he said, Brother Miller. I'd have never said a word. I guarantee you, if you'd have been there, half of us would have been insulted. Because a man took a hunk of mud made out of his spit. Amen. Made out of spit and rubbed in his eyes. But you know what the Bible said he did? He just went over there to that pool, reached down and grabbed the water and washed his eyes and was able to see. Hallelujah. What if he'd have just wiped it out with a piece of cloth and said, I've never been so insulted in my life. Sometimes a preacher preaches and you know what we say? I felt like he just spit right between my eyes. I've had him tell me he threw that right in my face. Yeah. Maybe he did. I've had them tell me, I felt like that preacher pointing his finger. Matter of fact, do you know, just Sunday night, I was preaching a message and never even thought about anybody. And when I was preaching like preachers do, you point your finger out there at the crowd. I made a statement, pointed my finger, don't even remember where I pointed at. Somebody come to me at a church, Jerry, and said to me, said, you meant me, said you pointed your finger right at me and looked right at me when you said it. I said, I never even thought about you when I said it. Amen. That's what we'd have said. We'd have wiped it out and said, he threw that right at me. He pointed right at me. Well, what if he did? Just listen. Get with the program. Obey what the Word of God said and get your eyesight back. Amen. That man's able to see. Hallelujah. I could talk to you so much. I'm going to try to hurry here because I can't wait to hear my son-in-law preach. I mean that too. Amen. So proud of it. But let me tell you just a couple more little things here. What about the woman? We know about this woman that had this issue of blood. She's been preached about for hundreds of years. No new message, but think about her. Here's a woman that had this problem for 12 years, I believe it was. A long time. And she tried everything she knew in her power. Bible says she spent all that she had on physicians, on doctors. Everything she had. Matter of fact, Brother Wayne Cornett, sometimes right here, he'll sing a song. A woman one day tried many physicians, but rather grew worse than the Bible were told. Amen. But then that chorus said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch some part of his clothes, I know I'd be healed and my sins all forgiven. If I could just touch some part of his robe. This woman tried everything she knew, every doctor, every prescription, every kind of medicine, everything possible. And when nothing else worked, she said, if I could just touch the great physician. And when she pressed through the crowd and touched Jesus, he felt virtue leave his body, and the fountain of her blood was dried up, and God instantly healed her that day. You know why? She finally got a hold of the right prescription, brother. She finally got a hold of the right medicine. Praise God. No longer did she have problems with this bloody issue. Hallelujah. Last night, my family doctor's wife was at our church service. He would have come, but he had to work and couldn't be there. Matter of fact, you know what? I remember he went to college. I remember he went to Chillicothe and done his training, and he's a good doctor, a good person. His dad and mother, members of my church ever since I've been there. Well, his father got saved after I came there, but his mom been a member there ever since I've been there. And they came to church last night and brought a friend. You know why they done it? Because, and she's a doctor's wife now. And the whole time that Brother Doug Cornett preached, I looked back on the back row and they bawled and they cried the whole time he preached. She'd look over at this woman and she'd say, listen, now listen. And she kept telling her, and they was just crying, wiping the tears. Church was over. I went back, shake hands with them. You know what she said? She said, my son had the same kind of wreck that Brother Cornett had. He had the same identical injuries that Brother Cornett had. We heard the same kind of report. She said, the only difference is, she said, in 3 years, he can't walk, he can't talk. And she said, when I heard the news, I said, I'll go as far as I have to travel to hear that boy preach just to be encouraged. And she came to that service and she looked there. She said, every time I heard him preach, she said, and I heard that message tonight. She said, and I thought about all the money I've spent, all the doctors and the specialists that we've been to. I'm not against doctors. I thank God for every one of them. Brother Arnold, I really do. But let me tell you something. When the doctors can't do nothing else, the Lord can. Amen. That woman walked down the aisle, had me and Brother Cornett lay hands on her, prayed over her, anointed a prayer call. She said, I'm going to take this back to my boy and tell him we're going to give the Lord a try and see what God can do. Amen. What the doctors couldn't do for 3 years. She said, I can't believe what God's done for Brother Cornett in 3 months. Well, brother, it's not us. It ain't the doctors. But it's the Lord that done the work. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what's happened to Doug Cornett. He got a hold of the right prescription.
Right.
Amen. What's he been taking?
Right.
What doctors he been seeing? Amen. I tell you, he's been seeing the Lord. Praise God. Oh, I tell you, I'm so excited tonight. I don't even feel like it's a Wednesday night prayer service. I feel like I'm in a camp meeting tonight. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Thank God I got a hold of the right prescription. Amen. The Lord said, come, taste and see. And I'm glad I did. It wasn't bitter. It was sweet to me. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, take the word of God and consume it. It'll bless you and it'll keep you. And if you'll just consume it. Amen. Oh, yes, this woman was healed. You know what our problem is? What we're doing exactly what the book of Job said. It said they had physicians of no value. That's what Job said. They went to physicians of no value. Amen. And I'll tell you what, folks, you can go out here to some doctors, they can't do you no good. I remember my wife had that cancer. That doctor looked at me and he said, there ain't a thing else I can do for her. And that's been it'll be 24 years in January, but the Lord was able to do something for her. She's healthy today. I'll tell you what, Doug's mom and dad's here tonight. I never felt so sorry for two people in my life and my daughter as well. And I'll tell you something, I'm so proud of my girl. Every time somebody'd say something about Doug, she'd stand right there and tell them, I don't care what the doctors say. Doctors would come out and say something, she'd say, I don't care what they said. Don't tell me what they said. One day I was talking to her myself, and I'll tell this in front of Doug here so he can hear it firsthand. One day I was talking to her, and I said, honey, we just got to believe God for whatever He'll do. She looked me right in the eye, and she said, now, Dad, listen to me. So I'm going to tell you once. So you listen to me. She said, if you ain't going to have no faith and you ain't going to believe God with me, then you can just step right out of this room right now. Well, at first I thought that hurt my feelings so bad. My own daughter to look at me and tell me that. And she just said, I mean it. Said, if you ain't going to believe God with me and you ain't going to trust God with me, said, I don't need no doubt in here. I said, well, honey, I believe God with you. I thought I was encouraging her. She said, I'm going to trust God. I tell you what, brother, she had a right prescription from day one. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. You know what y'all do sometimes? I think it'd be a good idea if we went home, opened up the cabinets, threw that bit of old junk away and said, God, I trust you from now on. Amen. I'm not talking about really the kind you get from doctors either. I'm talking about some of them things we've depended on, some of them spiritual antidotes we've depended on. They ain't going to help us anyway. We've tried old wives' tales and fables and what grandma and grandpa said, and we've said, well, if it's good enough for this, it's good enough for me. Let's take the Bible for it. What do you say? Take the Word of God for it. It may be strong meat for you, but if you'll chew it up and swallow down that strong meat, it'll put some strength to your bones. Amen. I'm going overtime a couple minutes. Just bear with me here. Hey, did you know what tonight? They was looking through some old family albums and they found some pictures of me. And those of you that know me knows I'm a healthy guy. I'm kind of stout. Or fat, whatever you want to call it. Stout's a nice way to say it. Amen. But anyhow, anyhow, they found some pictures of me tonight. And in them pictures, I couldn't believe that I was ever that small myself. I looked down and I've always told everybody I've always been this big. But don't you know, sure enough, I seen some in pictures when I was 17 or 18, I wasn't half that big. I said, Diane, what happened to me? I said, what happened to me? I had no idea that I was ever, I can't believe I don't eat. I said, I look so skinny, I don't even look like I weighed over 275. That's pretty little for me. I said, I can't believe I was ever that small. Amen. And I said, what happened to me? And the whole time I was eating chicken casserole while I was asking her. And Caleb come walking in, that's my grandson. He said, Papa, he didn't like chicken casserole because he said it's ugly food. He said, I tell you what's wrong, Papa. Said, you've eaten too much of that ugly food. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. You said, eat it and it'll put some meat on your bones. Praise God. Reason some of us are so spiritually skinny is because we won't take the medicine. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. I'm feeling good tonight. Those physicians of no value. I'll tell you where there's some good doctors. Amen. Try Dr. Collins once in a while. Dr. Cornett. Or how about Dr. Mike Allen or Dr. Barker? I'm just calling the preachers that's here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. The words they'll give you is words of life. It'll be, as the scripture said, health to your bones. Amen. Let me ask you, is there no bomb in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is the slave, daughter of my people? Why is the church in the shape it's in? It's not because there's no bomb in Gilead or no physician there. It's because we're not willing to apply the medicine and take the medicine. I'm telling you tonight, there's a right prescription you can take. If you get a hold of the right prescription, it'll help you.